Greetings in Jesus' name on Radio Cross. You know, this year, Passover 2022, Winnie and I have been led by the Lord to come to Hermanus and to walk with the cross. We did that yesterday and the day before. And this morning we're going to do it again and just share the love of Jesus. And it's amazing how people are responding to the cross. You know, I'm quite excited this year because we actually have four messages lined up for you. Our first message, which you're going to listen to now, is from Pastor Andre from Hermanus. He pastors four home churches here. And Pastor Andre is going to be sending me some more messages, so you'll be hearing much more of him. I will let you know about his broadcast in the future there. Then at 10:40, Marinda, which is in Pretoria now, Meta Neisner from Voice of Hope. She's doing a krachtige Afrikaanse boodskap oor die kruisiging vir ons. Dis in Afrikaans, so luister daarna en wees geseend met dit, dat die Here moet jou praat, sy elke dag, dan hoor jy so 1 minuut Voice of Hope, een stem waar sy vir ons net een krachtige kort boodskapie gee. So, dis heeldag op Radio Cross, so haar stem is baie bekend hier so, en dan at 11 o'clock, we got Sandy, has got a message that the Lord has laid in her heart. We met her in Bloberg Strand, and I'm sure we're going to be broadcasting more of her stuff in the future. It's really touching just to listen to her as she speaks what the Lord has laid on her heart concerning the crucifixion, how Jesus died, and what his parents went through. Be blessed by that. And then 11:20, it is for Sjaal Eivers van Ruitenwag hier in die Weskaap, Kaapstad, wat vir ons 'n kragtige Afrikaanse boodskap gaan bring. Wees geseend met sy getuienis, as hy sy getuienis deel, en hoe die Here in sy hart werk en in sy lewe werk. En wees geseend vir dit. Be blessed as you listen to these programs, and have a blessed day in Jesus' name.
Yes, good morning. This is Pastor Andre V. right here from the Overberg area in South Africa with another podcast. And it's Easter time. It's a time when we sometimes eat too much chocolate, but it's also a time when we consider the tree of Calvary and exactly what Calvary has meant to us and what it's done for us. So I want us just to forget about the chocolate and the bunnies and etc., etc., etc. And I want us to have a look again at the cross. Consider the cross. Consider what Jesus did on the cross for you and for I, and how it set us free. That's what we're going to consider this morning, because it is that time when we must have a fresh look at Calvary's cross. There's a scripture in Isaiah 53 verse 5, it says this: "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." I love to paint pictures when we're talking about the gospel. And there are three pictures this Easter I want you to remember and I want you never to forget. And the first picture I want you to remember or to look at is a slave market. Imagine in your mind a slave market. I don't know if you were aware of the fact that a slave was bound by the neck by chains. They would call it a neck collar or a metal collar. Now, the interesting thing about these collars is they had long arms. And they were outstretched, they were long. And the reason why they did that is so that the slave could not run away. And if he ran into the forest, the arms would catch on the trees or on the branches or on the bushes. And he, of course, would then not be able to get away at all. But there's another reason. And that is if he fell. And he fell on one of the arms, and there was normally four or five around his neck. It would kill him. It would break his neck. It was a terrible place to be, a slave. It was a horrible place to be a slave. And then it was a horrible thing that you would then go into a market and be traded like cattle. It was a terrible, terrible place. And many of us are in the slave market. We're bound by certain things in our lives. We're bound by the alcoholic thing, the nicotine thing. We're bound by the drug addiction thing. We're bound by the illicit sexual things. We're bound by these things. And we can't seem to get away. Slaves also had iron masks clipped on their faces so that they could not shout out or eat the products or the produce that they were working with, especially if they were working with vegetables. It was also, the mask was there, it was a metal mask clipped behind the ears. You couldn't get it off except the master come and undo it. It would also stop the slave from objecting to their treatment. The mask was a symbol of slavery. I wonder today if we understand that that has never changed. Slaves also had irons around their feet so they could not run away. Or they could not kick the slave master. In the slave market, they would be sold from one master to another. And their new owner would be just as treacherous as the last one. But you and I have hope because we were enslaved by evil. We were enslaved by wickedness. And then the new master came and he bought us. And he did not enslave us. He took off the chains and he set us free. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, the purpose of dying on the cross was to destroy the works of the devil, the slavery in your life. He died on the cross so that the devil could no longer be the master of your life, the prince of darkness. But that rather that Jesus himself would become the Lord of your life and hence set you free. The Bible says, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Are you still in the slave business? Are you still enslaved? Are you in the market? In that slave market? Just going from one demonic entity to another? I tell you right now, you need to look at the cross, because the cross is the place where God set you free. He took upon himself all your sins, all your iniquities, all the things that enslave you. He took it upon himself. And he was chastised. He had to pay the price to set you free. They would say that if a man came to buy a slave and set him free, he would pay what's called a ransom price. Jesus paid a ransom price for you. And the ransom that he paid was his precious, precious blood. You are no longer enslaved by the prince of darkness. If you're in Christ, you're free. And he who the Son sets free is free indeed. I've heard somebody say the other day, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I disagree. If you're born again, if you've received Jesus in your life, you've now become a saint, maintained by grace. Because I've been set free from my sin. The second picture I want you to have a look at is about a snake bite. I don't know how many of you have been out in the bush and seen a puff adder or a runkels or one of these snakes cross your path. And how scary it is, and sometimes your hair stands on end. And I always, when I see a snake, I run the other way. Don't like them. If they come in my yard, I'll destroy them. I don't like them at all because they're dangerous to me. And they represent evil to me. But let me also say this to you. A snake if he bites you and he's deadly, you have in your bloodstream now the venom of that snake. And what you need is an anti-venom. Now what happened was, in order to get anti-venoms, the vets would take a domestic animal like a lamb or a cat or even a dog, and they would put little bits of poison into the bloodstream of that domestic animal. And when the animal had built up a resistance to the venom, then its blood would technically become an anti-venom. And they used to use a lot of lambs and sheep for that. Then what they do, they withdraw the blood out of the animal and they put it into the person who's bitten by the snake. And that's the anti-venom. Sin is in the blood. But Jesus' blood cancels it out. The Bible says this about the blood of Jesus that was shed at Calvary. It says in 1 John 1 verse 7, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." That's the beauty about the blood of Jesus. It is an anti-venom. But here's the thing. If he'd never went to Calvary, if he was never beaten with 40 stripes on his back, if he didn't hang on the cross and shed his blood, you and I would not have an anti-venom. And here's another thing. If I'm bitten by a snake, I have to take the anti-venom. What happens if I don't take the anti-venom? Then I will die. I will be dead. There comes that point where I have to receive, I have to accept the anti-venom. There comes a point in your life where you have to receive, you have to accept the fact that God has allowed you to be free by applying the blood of Jesus on your life. The blood factor is a very important factor. And I don't think many people understand that God has a blood covenant with you and I, or he wishes to enter into a blood covenant with you and I. It's interesting. The first person who died in the Bible was Abel. His brother Cain killed him. But the Lord says this about Abel's blood. He says, "I hear Abel's blood cry to me from the ground." Now, unfortunately, at that point in time in history, Jesus had not died. So a blood covenant could not be fully applied to Abel. We take it a little bit further and we look at Noah. And Noah built his ark. And then the Bible says that he covered it with kephah, or a slime-like substance, which is what we would call today bitumen. The difference is the bitumen in the Far East is blood red in color, not black like our bitumen. So when the Bible says in Genesis that God remembered Noah, I always thought, really, that's a bit strange. Lord, he's the only guy with a boat on the water. How come you forgot him? Then I go deeper into the text. What he remembered was the blood covenant that Noah had tried to establish with him. You see, the whole reason for sacrificing animals was to begin a blood covenant with the God of heaven. So they would sacrifice a lamb. Abraham sacrificed lambs to establish a blood covenant with the Father. Now, why a blood covenant? Very simple. Anybody who knows about blood covenants, if two men make a blood covenant with one another, they promise above all things to protect each other, to provide for each other, and to help plan each other's life and come to their assistance when they have a need. Everybody in the ancient world, even in the world today, wants that from the Lord. Unfortunately, people don't understand it. You see, the blood covenant that God established for you and I was Calvary, was the cross. That's the blood covenant that God has established. And what he did was, he didn't say, well, you sacrifice blood, I'll sacrifice blood. He said, no, we'll do one sacrifice for all, forever. And then the blood covenant can be established. God has an established blood covenant with you. And because of that, he's committed to provide for you, to protect you, and to help plan your life. You must understand, that would never have happened without Calvary. Now, you can live a good life, and you can go to church, and you can be a so-called nominal Christian. You can never get born again. You say, oh, I don't need that stuff. But then you have no blood covenant with God. Then the Lord cannot protect you, provide for you, and help plan your life. A blood covenant needs to be established. But there's the other side to it. A blood covenant also means this responsibility on you and I. And our responsibility because of Calvary is to protect the Word of God, to protect the Church of God, to protect the preaching of the Word of God. The second thing is to provide. We need to provide our time, our talent, and our treasures to help spread the Word of God. There are many of you that are hearing my voice, that God's calling into the ministry. So what are you doing? Staring at the ceiling. Why don't you take the step of faith and say, Lord, right, let's get ready for ministry. Why don't you go to Bible school? If you've been to Bible school, why are you not looking at the countries of the world, the nations of the world, and saying to the Lord, which one can I go to preach the word? I've been very fortunate. The Lord has used me in international countries, particularly in America. But you know what? It took a decision one day. I'm going to America to preach the word. It made me wait on the Lord. I had to wait for a word, because that's the other thing. When you have a desire to go somewhere to some nation, wait on God for a word. He gave me a word. He gave me Psalm 2 verse 8. Ask me, and I'll give the heathen to thee as thine inheritance, the uttermost parts of the world as thine inheritance, as thy possession. When I got the word, I said, okay, Lord, I'm ready. Just tell me where. Because I don't know where, but I'm going, I'm ready. And within 2-3 weeks, I was in North Carolina, in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's another long story that I'll tell you someday. But what I want you to know, nothing could have happened without Calvary. Because I knew and I understood I have a blood covenant with the Father. His Son, on Calvary's tree, shed his blood for me. He washed my sins away by that precious blood. It's the greatest detergent that man will ever have. Is that particular blood. There is no other heavenly detergent. There is no other way to be rid of sin, be rid of shame and guilt, except the blood of Jesus. When I came to Christ as a young man of 19, and I'm nearly 70 now, I suffered greatly from sin and shame and guilt for the things that I had done. And one night I got on my knees in a park and I cried out to Jesus. I was not religious. I didn't know anything about religion. I thought Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were gamblers because I come from a gambling family. And I got on my knees and I cried out. I said, Jesus, please help me. Come into my life. I receive you. Please remove this guilt and shame from me. I can't live with it anymore. And give me back joy and peace. And in a moment, I felt the burden of my sin lift. The joy flooded my heart. And I jumped up screaming, hallelujah. That's the only Christian word I knew. And that was the beginning of my Christian walk, 50 years ago. I want you to know something. It could never have happened without Calvary. It could never have happened if the blood of Jesus was not shed for me. His blood had to cleanse me of all my sin, all my shame, all my guilt. The blood of Jesus. Have you taken the antivenom? If the devil's bit you, have you taken the antivenom? Have you come to him and said, Lord, please, get me out of the slave market, please, and set me free? And he who the Son sets free will surely be free indeed. 1 John 1 verse 7, I'm going to repeat it. He says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we will have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So let me go a little bit further. That meant, if that's true, that means we're pardoned. You have been cleansed. You've been washed. You've passed from judgment to life. When a criminal has been pardoned, his slate is clean. When the police look upon his record, it is as if he never, ever committed the crime. God can't deal with many people because sin is in the way. And Jesus needs to come along because of Calvary, and he needs to cleanse the slate. That when the Heavenly Father looks upon your slate, your record, he says, well, he's washed in the blood, therefore all his sin has been removed. Then he could deal with you. He's been spotless. He's been made spotless by the blood of the Lamb because he's been washed with that heavenly detergent that comes from Calvary. The third picture I want to print to you. The third picture I want to paint to you. The first one was about the slave market. The second one about the venom. The third one is about the house. In the Jewish community, when a new person or a new family moved into the neighborhood, they would then go to that family and give them cookies and cakes and stuff and invite them to dinner. Now the reason for that is because they'd want to know who these people are. They would like to know the names of the children. They'd like to know if the children could come and play with their children. They would like to know if there's something wrong with the place that they live in, if there's something they could do to help. They would like to know if there's anything that would be of service to this new family. But most of all, they would sit over a meal, and they would then, what they would do is, they would then get to know each other. Jesus says this, and I want you to look at this. In Revelation 3 verse 20, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Let's look at this scripture. He stands at the door of your life, your heart, and he knocks. Because of Calvary, he wants to establish a blood covenant with you. He knocks. He says, if any man hears my voice, are you hearing the voice of God today? Are you feeling the call of God, hey, I must get back to the Lord? Maybe you've fallen away and you're just saying, no, I must get back with the Lord. Maybe you don't know Jesus at all and you wish you could know him. Well, here's how you get to know him. If you're hearing his voice, you have to open the door. He can't open the door for you. He's a gentleman. He knocks on the outside of the door. And as long as he's in the garden and not near the door and you're not opening the door, he can't come in. He's not going to shout at you. You have to open the door. You have to open up and say, Lord Jesus, I receive you into my life and into my heart. I don't fully understand the stuff, like the families would get together and have dinner in the Jewish community. They wouldn't know each other. They're strangers. But they would invite each other for dinner so that they could get to know each other. Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life, so that I can get to know you and you can get to know me. When I became a Christian, I knew nothing. As I said, I thought Matthew, Mark, Luke and John were gamblers because I come from a gambling family. I didn't know anything, nothing. All I knew is that Jesus had come into my life. That's all I knew. And then he started to teach me. And he teaches you from within, from people coming and sharing things with you, from the Word of God. I ended up even at a Bible school. Like in those days, it would have been a correspondence school. Today we would call it an online school. And I learned, and I learned. And after 3 years of being totally changed, totally different to what I was before when I was still a sinner, I then began to preach. And I thought I would never do that. Not my nature. Wouldn't do it. And I've been preaching ever since. Because Jesus was working with me from within me. I want you to know today that because of Calvary, and because he wishes to establish a blood covenant with you, because more than you want to be with him, he wants to be with you. I don't think you fully realize the fact that Jesus loves you and I. He cares for us. He wants to share our life's journey with us. It's been an incredible journey for me with the Lord. And I always say to people, hey, the Lord's going to go, I've got another adventure. Something incredible is about to happen. Something wonderful is about to happen. God is going to take me on an adventure. And he does. I've had the privilege. I've been in various countries to preach. And I've even been in the White House in Washington and spoken to George Bush's people. I've been involved in changing the fate of a nation. An adventure with Jesus. I'm going to ask you this question. If you invite him into your house, if you invite him into your life, if you invite him into your heart today, I promise you, you'll never be the same again. He who is in Christ Jesus becomes a new creature, and all the things of the past disappear. They die, and everything becomes brand new. Pray this prayer with me if you wish to receive the Lord in your life. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you. I ask you to come into my heart, into my life. I ask you to wash my sin and my iniquity away with your precious blood. Lord, deal with me. Teach me. Show me. Show me how to come to a place of freedom. Take away the chains that bind me. And allow me to be a new creature, totally free. Lord, apply your precious blood on me and establish a blood covenant with me. I thank you, Lord, for Calvary. For without Calvary, none of this stuff, without the cross, none of this stuff would be available to me. Thank you, Lord. I receive you now into my life. In Jesus' name. The Bible says, as many as received him, to them, he gives power, authority, to call themselves the children of God. Right now, you've received Jesus into your life. You can now say, Lord, I'm your child. Teach me. Show me. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. This is Pastor Andre V. Write to me if you want me to pray for you. SAProphet, that's PROPHET, @yahoo.com. Bless you, and hopefully you'll hear from me again.